first reading is Isaiah 35, 4 to 7. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance and divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shall for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where the jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. The second reading is from Mark 7. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phocania. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and in the region of Decapolis. There some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place a hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with deep sigh said to him, which means to be opened. At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed in amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the word of the Lord.
I wanted to invite Betty up to speak for us today. Just put out your hand, just like that, and I'll pray for Betty. I'd give thanks for Betty, that she's the preparation she's put in today. I pray that your words will be hers, Lord. The message you wanted to give, Lord, based on the two readings we've heard today, will be what you want us to open our ears, Lord, and hear your voice through Betty, Lord. I pray you give us strength and power to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Okay. Good morning, everybody. It's a wonderful theme to be given to preach. Before I actually start, I just want to thank God for giving me the opportunity to prepare this, because He did not just give me words for you, He gave me words for myself as well. He opened my eyes to see my journey and what He has been doing. So I come today with a word of encouragement and a challenge to you. If I have my way, You'll be having a lot of songs busting out through the whole sermon today. But I'm going to try and control myself. Because growing up, I get to listen to a lot of different songs. And most of the songs, some songs that are taken from scripture and taught to us as children, and even growing up, I still get the same songs. And what I used to do, I will take a song and change them to what I think I want them to be in my life. So when I read the scripture that was given to me, the first thing that jumped to mind is a hymn. I don't think it's a totally hymn, because when you research it on internet, it comes up with, you know, secular song. I think Harry Secombe, the one he sang, he changed it into the hymn that he wanted it to be. And that song is Faith Can Move Mountains. So what I want to speak to you about today is faith. My question under that is, how big is yours? How big is your faith? That song that Harry Secombe used to sing, it says, faith can move mountains, turn darkness into light. Faith can move mountains. It can turn darkness into light. It says, you will find courage. Just put your faith in God. The reason we just read in Isaiah 35, 4 to 7, there, you know, we are sent on an errand. We read through it, sometimes we miss what God is telling us to do. You see, the Old Testament gives revelations of things. And you will see when we go through it that this Old Testament is what we now see happening in the New Testament. So it says, people are afraid and confused. Say to them, be strong, don't be afraid. Look, your God will come and punish your enemies. He will come and give you your reward. He will save you. So what is that saying to us? You know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. As believers, we are given the assignment, you know, to go out. Leave your fear behind. Go out. Tell those people that are afraid that God is able. See, the God we hear about in the Old Testament is still alive today. And he is able to save you. He's able to change your story no matter what you see in front of you. The God that we have is able to save you. And when you have that faith to step out, to give what God has placed in your heart, then you will see, eyes will be opened, ears will open, the lame will walk. And that will happen if you exercise your faith. I really want to, you know, look a lot on the New Testament. But the last bit of that Old Testament, you say, now people, you know, they see mirage. But time will come when that will change, you know. looks like water, but it will not just look like water at the time. They will see water. There will be physical water. Growing up, we used to go to places. They say that, you know, it's a desert area where I grew up. But today, this scripture come to life. Those places now, they have been, it's flooded, you know, every year. Things are changing. It was prophesied then, it's happening now. So why do you think that the things that they prophesy about, you know, people being healed will not happen today? Now, for it to happen that way, you have a part to play. And your part is for you to exercise your faith. And how are you doing that? Are you just sitting down thinking, well, when they say, go ye and preach the gospel, or when that scripture here say, you know, go and tell the people, they were talking to Tim or all those that went to theology school to study theology, or Dean and Steve, who are the, what are we again? The wardens in the church? No. That message is for all of you, each and every one of us, to go out and tell of the goodness of God, to let people know that He is a faithful God. Last week we sang the song Faithful. Faithful you are, faithful forever you will be. Hang on. Do we actually believe it when we sing it? He is faithful. Faithful He will be forever. Because His promises are yes and amen. Thank you. He is a faithful God. But we need to exercise our faith. Connect to who God is, what He's saying to us. We cannot just say, oh, it happened then, it will not happen now, because it is happening now. But you need to, you know, connect to that faith. Now, let's look at this New Testament story of this woman. I find her an amazing woman. She's a really nice woman because she had faith. She had faith. Verse 24 says, Jesus left that place and went into the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know that he had entered a house. But he couldn't hide. Sometimes you want to go away, just, you know, hide yourself. You don't want noise around you. Jesus was becoming, you know, popular, and anywhere he goes, people are just trooping to see him. He just wanted to enter quietly. When I travel home, I like to go home, not telling anybody, get picked up by one auntie. She's the only one that will know that I've just come, and I will be there for the week. Just relax and pray before everybody else knows that I'm there. And then you have, where's the bread you brought for us? So I like to take the time. So I get the idea that, you know, you want to go quietly into place. And is that not a lesson for us as human beings to pick up either? We need to be able to step out of our busy lives. Go quietly to somewhere and not want everybody, the noise around you to be there. 25. You see, in fact, a woman whose young daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard. See, this woman heard about Christ coming into town. There have been stories about Jesus healing so many people. This woman heard stories. Those stories, she believed. And when she heard about, you know, that this man that had been healing people far away is coming near me. My daughter is sick, I know. And I want healing for my daughter. She heard he was coming. She prepared herself. She didn't wait. Say, if she's coming, if he's coming there, my daughter must be healed today. So she took herself there. She had faith. She went there in faith. I've had this kind of experience. I don't talk about some of the things that God has done for me. But being here this morning, I want to tell you an experience I had. I have a son. I think most of you know my daughters. I have a son, and when he was about 16, 17, he was not well. And I had a dream where people were being prayed for. And I noticed in that dream that my children were not there. I knew the people that were being prayed for, but the person doing the prayers, I did not know. And I woke up and I thought, why? Why were my children not there? They need to get that blessing that was being given out. So as I was thinking about it, I heard the Holy Spirit say, the next time you go to church, take them with you. And the next time was a night vigil. Normally, I don't try to take them to night vigil because at the time, yeah, night vigil means that when people are going to bed at about 10, we're going to church for prayers. It happens a lot in the black churches. So, and by that time, their dad was not actually going to church either. So he was not very happy for me dragging the kids out of the house in the night. So I always like to just leave them, take myself, go. But every now and then they go with me. But that day, I made sure they went with me. And they came. Now, why did I drag them there? I just didn't know, but the Lord said to take them with me. But before then, something started happening to my son. If I don't give you that bit of the story, you won't know what I was talking about when this thing happened. For a couple of years, the first time it happened, we went on holiday to Holland, and my son passed out for no reason. Didn't know why. They said, maybe he's hurt himself and it's because of the pain. They didn't treat it. It happened again before we came back. We brought him back. He was airlifted from the plane when we got to Heathrow. And as bad things want to happen, they were happening, you know, plenty of them at the same time. We got to Heathrow. The nurses were on strike. So there was no hospital near that they would put him. They sent us to Woking. We were there for 2 weeks with his legs strapped up. And, you know, that started a lot of things. And he had operation later at Stanmore to correct the leg. He had to learn to walk. But that didn't stop the problem.
started something that started happening every year. He passed out. Sickness that comes once a year. How about that? When it happened in Germany, when we were in Germany, they now said, oh, it's epilepsy. My faith rose up and I told them, no, it's not. At the end, my husband went, if the expert says it's epilepsy, let him take the medication that they've given him. I fought, but at the end, I have to tell the boy, look, this is what I believe. Daddy said take it, you can take it. But I know God will come through one day. And that day, at the night vigil, he did. God came through for me. Because this man that came was speaking, and he didn't know me. We didn't even know he was coming to visit the church. I was one of the leaders of the church, and we will know when things are happening. But it was something that was arranged last minute. So this guy came, was speaking, and said, you know, if you have something like this happening to you, it's not normal. It's not your portion. The Lord wants to deliver you. We want to pray with you. And I looked at my son, and he looked at me. I'm like, go. Go. And he was prayed for. I left there really happy that day because I felt, well, God has taken this problem from me. You know, when God does something for you, the enemy will bring something to make you think, oh, it didn't happen. Remember, you know, when Christ healed some of the blind people in the Bible and says, you know, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees. So he was healed, but the devil came. He was going to start uni that weekend, next weekend, the next week. The day before he's going, that's when he had this fit again. And I say to him, do you want to, you know, cancel? You don't have to go, but if you go, you are saying what God have done for me was true. He said, Mommy, I will go. And he went. And that's the first time ever, for the time that this thing was happening to him, that he had a fit twice in the same day. On his way to uni, because he was going to Westminster, on the train, it happened again. And he called me, Mommy, it happened. I said, okay, do you want to come back home? Or you want to shame the devil and go and show yourself and come back? He said, I want to go in. Then I'll register and come back. And he did. Guess what? That was the last day till today that ever happened to him. He was totally healed. And today, he's, you know, taking his driving test. Because before, if you're having epilepsy fits, you are not allowed to drive. It's a medical condition. But today he's doing that. He had to go through test to confirm that he's okay. And, you know, those happened, and I sweep them aside. I don't talk about them, but that is the God we serve. The problems that you think is big, for him, they are easy, and he can take care of them. And I want to draw your attention to something else that this woman did. He heard, he went there to look for Jesus. And when Jesus said something to her, something that I know that when we read it today, we'll think, how could he say that? How could he say that to somebody? You know, the children have to be fed first. It isn't right to take the children's bread and toss it to dogs. When Jesus said that to this woman, he was so humble. humble in her, she was so humble in her response. Her response brought in her deliverance, or her daughter's deliverance. How do we respond to people? How do we see people that are around? Do we look at them and say, you are just being annoying. I don't really want to be around you. You see, when he said that word, children's bread, and used the dog, like referring to the woman as a dog, we will look at it and say, oh, that's wrong. But let's not judge, because now you need to understand where he was brought up. Nature and nurture. If you're brought up in a place and something is said every time and it is right, then you will say it in the context of where you were, and that's where they were. The Jews, they actually did not look at their neighbors that great at the time. You remember when the dean was speaking to us about the Samaritan? He said to us that, the story of the Samaritan have more to it than what it is. And that's what you can bring into this story too. They were who they were, and they did not think that the other people were as good as they are. Imagine, remember the story, I hear stories of how in the olden days they used to write on doorpost. That is what that is. And when Jesus told her to go home, her daughter would be healed, and that was it. She believed. She believed. She believed. Another song we used to sing as a child, it said, believe and it will be better for you. If you believe in the Lord, things will be better for you. This woman believed things were better for her. Let's touch on the deaf man. He was deaf. The people that brought him, they were specific on what they want. They asked him to please do what? Heal him. They were specific. Are you specific in your prayers? When you ask, do you ask exactly for what you want? If you want God to heal you of maybe a leg that is hurting you, do you go about and say, oh, God, if you are willing, or if you think it's okay, heal my leg. Do you do that? Oh, I have headache. Well, the headache is not that bad. If you feel that I don't need the headache, heal my headache. That's not it. You ask straight that, Lord, heal me of this headache. If I'm going to sleep and I have headache, I'll go, Father, as I sleep, when I wake up, this headache shall be gone. Be specific. He is a faithful God. If he did it then, he can do it now. If he healed people then, he can heal you now. See, this man, Jesus did something different here. See, the woman's daughter, Jesus didn't need to be there, he didn't need to lay hands on the child before she was healed, because when the mom got home, the child was healed. But these people brought this man, and what did he do? He physically touched the man. I know something he did there cannot, you know, with COVID, it will not happen today. Eh? Spit and put it in your mouth. Everybody will run a mile. But hey, it was then. It was instruction. Maybe that's what the Holy Spirit laid in his heart. He did it, and this man got healed. So, I'm not going to take you guys too long on this, but I want to just encourage you to exercise your faith. In 1 Samuel 17, David, if you remember his story, a young teenager stood face to face with Goliath, the great warrior, and challenged him based on his faith in the God his fathers, his ancestors serve. I said, who are you to defile my God? And with that, this teenager came. Goliath had all the sword, you know, had his armor, everything. They tried them on him, on David, but they were too heavy. So he went there with just his sling and a stone. He defeated this big man just with his faith, knowing that he can defeat this man, you know, just the way with the help of God. And he did. He was only a teenager. He was small compared to the giant standing in front of him. He exercised his faith. In Matthew 14, 22 to 33, we read the story of what happened when Peter took a step of faith. Some of us, we stand, you know, we sit in the boat and we look at the water around us. The water signifies our blessings. We look at things around us that we can step into and will bless our lives. But instead of us stepping out of our comfort zone, which is the boat, we sit there. So my challenge to you is, can you step out? Can you take a step of faith and step out of your comfort zone? Can you do that? Another short story I want to pick up is that of the three Hebrew boys. See, they exercised their faith as well. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we will not serve your God. What is that in your life that you can say, no matter what happened, I will stand in faith because I have a bigger God? He is able to change situations. Are we trusting in him? Are we willing to follow his footsteps? There's a song that I wrote down here which says, I trust in God. Wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea, come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. My heavenly Father watches over me. What do you believe? Do you believe he watches over you? Do you believe he cares for you? Do you believe, just like he did for that woman's daughter, that he can do the same for you? Do you believe, just like he healed the deaf man, that he can do the same for you? Let's put our trust in him. Chris Tomlinson, in his song, says, faithful he will be forever. Yeah? Because all his promises are yes and amen. And there's another young lady that says the same thing in another song that I listen to a lot. I want to close with this one. We sing it here. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. You never fail. You never change your God. Do we believe it? He is faithful. The same God that was yesterday is today. And he will be the same tomorrow. He is faithful. The prophecies of the Old Testament, they were brought to light in the New Testament. And it's still the same today. We just need to step out of the boat. Thank you.